Welcome into episode 87 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a review of iMake's e-magazine, a What's a Crack section, swap section, mum section, me section, a what you doin' segment, a dram segment with the Arran 10-year-old single malt whiskey. I sponsor this from my own business, which is www.energyhunt.com. which has got nothing to do with craft, but everything to do with Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast, so get your cup of tea or your dram and let me know what your crack is in Caithness this week.
The review section.
Review section. I'm very fortunate to have a review copy of the iMake e-magazine for you. Martin hosts a wonderful iMake podcast from Guernsey. I have to say I'm a big fan. And she has put together an electronic magazine which is available from her iMake Etsy and iMake Craftsy stores. And it retails in at £3.50, which I see is pretty spot on for a magazine with this content and in the craft market. And I was looking at it on my laptop and I love the design of it. I think it'd be fantastic on the iPad, but I haven't quite looked at it yet there. I didn't expect anything less from Martine, of course, to be honest, because she's got this elegant style that is quite modern and contemporary. I like the way that she has it bordered with dashes, which to me are stitches. And I like the final notes at the end, which is a nice way of thanking her contributors and her designers. Again, Martine's style. She's very polite, Martine's just lovely. On the front page it says, experiment with pesto, upcycle your old records, start a podcast, be inspired, make time, take time, and enjoy a creative life. And they're all from names that you listen to on iMake podcasts and you'll recognise them, because I'm sure she's mentioned them all in the past. We've got Charles, Kate, Jane, Shiny Bees, Joe, to name a few. And I love anything Charles says or does. Big fan of Charles. And actually, when I was in the shop today, I was thinking, right, have I got this for the pesto recipe? Yes, I have, because we've got basil in the polytunnel, but I'm going to change my walnuts for pine nuts. So, yeah. Yummy. Oh, I'm going to have that for tea tonight. And plus, it's written in the way that Charles talks. And I've just noticed that where he suggests the wine that goes with it. Oh, darn, I never thought about that today when I was in the shop. Ah, they've thought of everything, so you don't have to. But you have to remember it. And carrying on with the food theme, that they have a foraging article. You know, going into nature, foraging around, using what it provides, such as nettles, roses. I'd love to find some wild garlic around here, but I don't know what it looks like. We went on a foraging walk with the local countryside ranger a few years ago. They run them a few times a year, and they show you what you can and can't eat in Dunnet Forest. And they have a few mushrooms that you can actually eat, and amongst the thousands that you can't. Now, I do not recommend mushroom picking without a professional. We've got a couple of books and we've picked them when we lived in Oban, as the chanterelles were a bit more plentiful there, and I know what one of them is. But seriously, do not pick if you don't know. And if in any doubt, leave it alone. That is the mushroom rule, because you don't want to be ill or dead. But the foraging article in the magazine is fantastic for things that aren't going to kill you, basically. The nettles. Who knew there was so much information about nettles? They're quite fascinating things for being jaggy so-and-sos and yow, but they make great soup, which we had when we went on that walk, so it's a really interesting article. On the craft front, Martine has Martine Makes, when she does something with old vinyl records which made me laugh out loud. I'm not going to spoil it because I want you to buy it, and I'll let you find that out for yourself. She also has a very interesting article on rare breeds of British sheep. And I like how they mention North Ronaldsay seaweed muncher sheep. And she's got a great photograph of Jacobs too. And of course, that's one of the sheep that I can pick out of in a lineup. So I read that with great interest. I don't want to kind of list everything that she's got in the magazine, but I really would recommend that you do go and have a look and buy from Martine at iMake's Etsy shop. I will put the links in the show notes so you don't have to faff around just now. And to have the balance of the yin and the yang, don't panic, Martine, I just want more. Not quite long enough for me, because I want to read more. But I appreciate the work that you did put into it, and I look forward to the next magazine. So this is iMate magazine that I recommend, and her podcast, because she's lovely. If you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy laugh. The Daisy who's at school laugh.
Hello section.
Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever listeners. I really appreciate you all tuning in, and I hope you're enjoying yourselves. And I had a look at the iTunes reviews, and I had none new on the UK ones, but I've had a few since I've noticed on the US ones. So thank you very much. And if you've put a review up all around the world that I've not noticed, give us a tweet, a prod, a message, a poke with your pointy sticks, and I'll give you a shout out. So hello Sandy to new group members, Lyra, who hails from Shetland. She's really cool to speak to on Twitter. She's got a bit of a slug conversation with me going on just now. Oh yeah. Jan Chuck, JDoll25, Far From Harm Farm. And she's lovely to speak to on the messages. She's originally from Scotland too. And Crafty Sharon. Of course, you're all lovely. I'm just saying that I had nice messages. Oh, I sound like I'm pointing one out now. That's terrible. Random hellos. You never noticed that. Tiny Shiny Things. Hello, Sally. Joy Harmon, who had a most lovely conversation the past week. Jennifer the Witch. Ducky Canuck. And Ivan Ale.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? In work news, I'm proud and pleased to say that we continue to retain our triple UCAS accreditation through DNV after periodic audit. Yeah, that's a bit of a mouthful. I understand it all, but I don't expect all of you to. All that crossing the T's, dotting the I's works, you know. Our standards are high, and we now have another stamp on our bit of paper to prove it. Well done, Richard. And me, because I was there. It was quite a hard day getting audited, but I am pleased that we passed and we carry on to be fantastic. Please give us some work. That would be nice. The Great Scottish Tapestry is on exhibit. It's on show 3rd to the 22nd of September in the Scottish Parliament. And it's now the 5th, but you've got a few days left to go. It's free to enter and it's open on a Saturday. I am planning going down on the 20th of September. Goodness me, bairns parties, beaver days out. I've had to move things around and it's just ridiculous. My textile artist group went down to the preview on the 2nd and I got a lovely photograph of them standing in front of our panel. But I haven't actually heard how they got on yet. It was just, how did you get on? No, there was just the photograph. And there was a lot in the press the past few days, so I expect it's been quite busy. And if you're in and around Edinburgh the 3rd to the 22nd of September and you love works of art, please do go along and then tell me what you think. And plus, you know the Stitcher on the hill of a Caithness schoolroom panel, which I think's about panel 90. But whatever you do, don't touch the panels. They won't like that. You'll get told off. And I have looked at some Flickr photographs. Oh, absolutely stupendous. And I've been having a bit of a conversation on Twitter with PJMCK, who actually stitched on her panel. I can't find where she was. But she went and she said she found it quite emotional, exciting and interesting all at the same time, which is, I think, how I would feel. Because I know, and you know, how I felt about our panel, this metre squared of a lot of work and the work that went into it and the skill and what we ended up with, the end product. And there's going to be about 160 of these panels. So if we're not overwhelmed, something's not right. I'm really looking forward to going down to that and hopefully maybe catch up with some of you people at the same time. The classes have been put up for the Glasgow School of Yarn, which is happening on the 18th and 19th of October. They've got Amy Singer, Liz Lovick and John of Easy Knits. And there's also Deborah Robson is there to promote her book, The Field Guide to Fleece. And I'm not sure if I'm going. I'm sorely tempted to meet Deborah. And I don't know, but the classes are up for sale on Monday and I'll just have to see how work goes because see if we're busy enough to warrant me paying for it, if you see what I mean. And the lovely Giffnet girls had offered me a lovely B&B rate, but she's away travelling, bless her. And of course, I'd rather her be travelling than having me visit. So thank you, Ella, anyway, but I hope you have a most wonderful time away.
The swap section.
Swap. The coaster swap is well up and going, and I've made one of my four that I've got a few things to buy for a post mine. In fact, I'm using one of them when I type up this for my class. It's dry, it's honest. I'm crocheting mine, and I'll tell you more about it when my swap partner Sue gets it. She's lovely. I like Sue and her husband and her children. I hope you're all busy organising your swaps, and it's a coaster for your mug, sized, and it can be bought or made, plus no more than four items local to you, and a note or a letter explaining it all. I'm actually struggling keeping mine down to four. Yeah, you give a rule, stick to the rule.
The grandma section.
Anyway, here's the mum section. I had my mum over on Tuesday. We went to the school to listen to a real-life astronaut talk to the bairns. Dwayne Digger Carey had been invited over by our Professor Bakey, who organises our science festivals in Caithness. And he was touring Caithness, Aberdeen and London schools. And Digger, we got told him to call him Digger, went up in the shuttle to the Hubble telescope in March 2002. He now lives in Colorado with his lovely wife and called her Miss Cheryl. She was just lovely. He was amazing to listen to. The bairns just souked it up. They were both brilliant with the bairns, really engaged with them on all levels. They showed them a DVD about how he ate, slept, drank, cleaned and worked on the shuttle. And then he took some questions. I've never met a real-life astronaut before, and it was fascinating, even though I was still half expecting Buzz Lightyear to come in. He wasn't Buzz Lightyear at all, no. Richard was really quite jealous that he couldn't go to listen. And he told, and Digger told the bairns the thing that they need to learn to be an astronaut is to learn about learning. To do the hard work, to get to the fun stuff, but you have to work really hard first. And obviously he said about maths and physics. Yeah. I'll just like the first part. But I hope the bairns remember that. I thought it was quite motivational. And then Mum and I had lunch at home and we went and played in my craft room. She politely never told me how messy it was, but we went about looking at things I'd been making or in the process of. And then she said, Louise, I think you've got enough yarn. Dinna buy any more until you've used this lot up. Why, aye, Mum, I think you're right. That's my quite bad Geordie impression of Mother. Which is also Geordie for Louise, cast on all the things. Now, or that's what I heard. Here she is giving her update since she last heard her in June. Hi, Mum.
Hello, Louise.
This is the Mum section, so what have you been up to, Mum?
Well, not a lot during the summer, but I've been knitting, and I'm knitting a jumper for my great-great-nephew. And I'm knitting in double knitting. No, it's Aran.
What is it?
Aran Devonan wool, Serda. Mm-hmm. And I have the ribs brown. And the jumper itself is a lighter shade. And it's quite attractive. It's a nice pattern.
Mm, it's nice wool, that denim.
It is, and it's lovely and soft. And he's going to be worn next month. So it's 1 year old to 18 month, the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I knitted, in the meantime, a shrug for Daisy.
Uh-huh.
She had a special day on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Merrymas, up at Dunnet, and she was a little princess.
she was
the attendant.
Attendant to the Queen, and the Queen does the sort of presentations for giving it the prizes for the day, and she also turns on the Christmas lights, but the attendants are generally just there for the day.
Well, there was Daisy and our little friend, Chloe, and they're both in the same class at school.
Uh-huh.
And oh, they just looked so beautiful. Purple dresses, net and sequins. And oh, she did. She looked very, very pretty. So did Chloe.
Oh, they did, both of them.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't know what kind of day it would be, and you were going to knit a shrug, and I said, wow, and how many days? And you're so busy, so I did it with your wool, and it was white sparkly.
Uh-huh. I think what? It was a Sirdar. It was certainly BB knitting, probably acrylic, and it was out of the all the colours I have for where the I keep the BB wool.
Mm-hmm. And it was a fern and lace pattern on the back and eyelets down the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And I put fur, which she gave us, around each sleeve hem.
Mm-hmm.
She just looked so lovely.
She was, and we looked for ages for that pattern on Ravelry. And I can't find it, to tell you what it is.
We had to make the pattern, alter the pattern.
Yeah.
I couldn't work it out, but you did.
Right, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a little bit awkward because it was a free pattern, so can understand why it's not got all the sizes in the world. But she did say, if you want to increase this, you can do X, Y, and Z. And me and you were scratching our heads trying to work it out. It's like dumb and dumber. Half dumber.
And I've never knitted a shrug before, but you have.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine. And in the summer, we had the county show, which... You had forgotten to take your
phone. Oh, she's looking at me, listeners, like mothers do, and pointing at me. Right,
so,
hanging in,
what I did was I made a book cover, and I was quite pleased with it because the first fitting didn't fit, so I had to make it bigger to fit the book. And it just fitted like a glove. I was delighted the second time.
Or like a book cover.
Yes, nice, neat and tight. The front was...
crazy patchwork.
And which I enjoy doing, but I really and truly enjoy doing the embroidery. All the different stitches. And I don't embroider, so I've got the book in front on my knee and I have to follow the stitching. And I like choosing the different colours of the embroidery threads and sparkly stuff and beads. Oh, I love.
That's what I get from them.
I love sewing the beads on. I was pleased with it in the end.
Can you quickly, if you can think of it, what is crazy patchwork?
What is... Right, it's all your... different kinds of materials, and you start with one piece of material and you sew another piece onto it, and then you turn it, you cut the second bit of material straight with the first piece of material, then you put another material on, and then you turn and you turn, and it's just all different shapes, colours, patterns, and it just always turns out beautiful.
It's a really nice way of using up scraps, isn't it?
It is. And the book that I have, it's really, really old, and there's lots of lovely patterns where it's all hand-stitched and embroidered, and they are absolutely beautiful, really beautiful.
Ah, they are. You got a lovely postcard from, was it Gold Threads?
Yeah.
And it had a crazy quilt from back in the day.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, because I tried to explain it when I was talking to them about your book cover a few episodes back. I couldn't do it, so I deleted it all out.
Oh.
Right. What else have you been doing?
And then I did enter embroidery shoes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I did two, and I put them in a mount, and then framed it.
And what prizes did you get?
Oh, I just got third for both.
I thought you got second and a third.
No, I got third for...
I just got a third. Well, it's more than what I got. Well done, Grandma.
And then, what I'm going to do next is a coaster and a project bag, and I've been looking up the patterns, and I must tell you, Louise, I went onto YouTube for a coaster pattern, and there was just one video of it, and I've never seen anything like it in all the time I've watched YouTube. Anyway, she she did a coaster, which I'm not going to use as a pattern, but she did it and I watched it. And she stood up and she was using a tiny, like the little miniature, very noisy.
Little machines,
yes. And she was putting her work right close to the camera. Now, it was sometimes going out of focus, then she would push it back again. But she stood up, she lifted her jumper and she scratched her big, fat belly.
Oh, no.
I couldn't believe it. She hadn't edited it out.
I think I'm going to look this up.
It was funny. Anyway, I went back onto YouTube and I was watching professionals sewing the jelly rolls.
Did they eat it?
They were good.
Did any of them scratch their bellies?
No. They were really good. And that's what I'm going to do is I've got two jelly rolls and I'm going to do my duvet cover. Our winter sewing started on a Thursday and after I do my coaster and my project bag, I'm going to start the duvet cover.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a lot of work because I've got to finish off every seam with the...
Overlocker.
The overlocker, yes. Mm-hmm. With the overlocker, so because it'll be washed quite regularly, you see. Mm-hmm.
But you'll not have to quilt it, though, will you?
Oh, no. So that's it. But I really, you know...
Well, she's been busy because, yeah.
With grandchildren. In the summer.
And gardening,
yes.
And doing X, Y and Z.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Mum, and I'm sure all the listeners will love hearing from you again.
You're welcome.
She does a much better Geordie accent than I can. Why, aye, Mum. I tried looking her on the YouTube video for the coaster, but I just can't find it. But it just fair tickled her, this lady scratching her bag. Now, isn't it great we can all upload videos? But people, please edit them. And if you can't, have some dignity. Don't be scratching your bog or your behind on camera.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. Now, my Cookie A Socktopus Totally Vanilla socks have been totally taken out. Totally. Yeah, I know. I didn't give up, but I got it wrong. Now, I had properly knitted a tension square and worked it all out. There I was, 4 inches down from the cuff, and thought, that looks a bit baggy. Surely it should go in a bit after the cuff's not quite out so baggy, as it did. And even Richard agreed. But I carried on because I wanted to know how it worked. So I did the back of the heel, which is a pretty funky pattern of slipping stitches. I enjoyed doing that. So then I turned the heel, I put it on social media, Twitter and Instagram, and Facebook went mad. It seems to be everyone's favourite part. And actually, you hate me. I just feel underwhelmed by it, to be honest. As I'd already learned to make that shape a few years ago before in an Isolde Teague pattern called Urchin, and she has short rows. And then I had made the Lyra's Svalbard hat. And I think then I had the feeling of, that's how it works. That's pretty cool. But to turn a sock heel... Yeah, there's silence because I have no words. But then I did the picking up and reducing for the gusset. And I do-do-do-do-do. And I had it on 4 WDPNs, the horrible nasty ones from Lidl's. Then I counted it. I should have had 64, but I had... You guessing? 50! No. So I took it off the needles, I ripped it back to 64 stitches. And then, because it was off the needles, it was much looser. And I said to Richard again, it still seems baggy. And he went, mm-hmm. Yep, what are you going to do? So I just took it out. And it went back in the bag with the nasty little needles. I put the book back on the shelf. No, I haven't given up. Stop looking at me like that. My knitting's been a bit like that recently, hasn't it? I do something, I took it out. I do something, I took it out. I start something and I put it away. And it's not like me to give up so easily. Because I was like that with my coaster. The pattern wasn't right, and then I wasn't right, and then the yarn wasn't right, and then long tail cast on 34, knit this row in a pattern, and I used the long tail to knit the second row. So, you know, I had to cast on that 4 times, and then I still didn't think this isn't right. So two girl out and I've got one lovely one finished and it's in crochet. However, back to the sock. I had a conversation with the lovely Diane Jensen, who is Shakur on Ravelry, and she put me right about it. Then I found some nice bamboo Brittany double-pointed needles in my needle stash that I had totally forgotten that I had bought from Nest in London a couple of years ago. So I put them in the bag and it's downstairs waiting on me casting on all the things because Mum said I can. Thank you, Diane. And if you don't know her, please go and check out her kilt socks and sock recipe patterns on Ravelry. She goes under Shakur, which is S-H-E-K-U-R-E, and her lovely husband, Arlen, are the most lovely couple of listeners. Hello to you two. I hope you have a better week. They've not had a good week. It's just one of them where everything went wrong. It's just ridiculous. So send them good vibes and send her nice messages and stuff, and it'll cheer her up. And then I managed a bit of spinning, because Daisy's at school all day now, and I feel a little bit lost, to be honest. I took the wheel out, gave it a good oil and thought, I remember how to do this. Don't really want to use up my good stuff. So I found some random white mule fleece, which was actually very nice and sparkly white, from 2010. Thank you, Sarah and Al. And I just kind of found it. I thought I'd lost it, to be perfectly honest. And I just fed it in to see how it was going to go. And it came out, it was two plied, and it came out Aran weight. Now Mum has it, with a thought to making some mitts or a hot water bottle cover. I had also washed some fleece recently, and I had put it into laundry bags, you know, the ones you get for your knickers or your sports shoes. And then I put the bath full of little shampoos that Richard gets from the hotel he stays in when he goes off working. We seem to have quite a big stash. And I used sea kelp shampoo. So the fleece smells just like the bairns do after a bath. It's so soft and fluffy too, which is great. I used a whole hot tank of water as well. And it was a dark brown fleece that I got from Sarah a couple of years ago. And I have a feeling, but not a very good one, that it's a Shetland or a mule or a cross or a Jacob. Anyway, it's all dark brown and it's just lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely to work with. And my skin's coping fine with it too, which is good. And it seems to be wanting quite a thin ply. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this, but I'm quite enjoying working on it and doing the spinning again. I've still got half a fleece to wash, so I want more laundry bags. Deborah Robson has a brilliant blog up about how she washes her fleece, and I took my inspiration from it, sort of. The problem I had was where to put my laundry bags when I changed the water in the bath. I think I needed like a basin to pop them into, or on a rack to drain them out. I live and learn. But do go and look at Deborah's blog for instruction. She fair knows what she's talking about and she's very generous with her kind advice if you ask her on the likes of Twitter. And I've been doing work. Work. Accounts, DNV audits, capability statements and keeping busy. And wood chopping and running and gardening on a weekday and some cycling. Oh, now I'm going to tell you about the cycling. Richard said to me, do you think you can cycle 12 miles? We'll do it at your pace and we'll take a packed lunch so you can have and you can have the fancy bike and the fancy gear because he's right into it. Now, I've done something to my knee and I'm trying to rest it and then I can get running again. I think it was the gardening and I've dunted a muscle or a ligament or something, but running after 2 miles hurts, which was great if you're on the treadmill, which is why I like the treadmill, because if it starts to hurt, you can get off and you're in the same place. No, Louise runs 2 miles? Yeah, 2 miles down the beach. 2 miles down a Dunnet beach. And it turns round and her knee starts to hurt. So I had to hobble all the way home. Yeah, wasn't happy. But he says, well, we'll try cycling because that's a different muscle group and we'll see and try and discount it and then that's not going to hurt. And I says, well, that's fine. I can do 12 miles, I think. Especially if we're going at my speed. I'm not moaning about things. I'm just telling you. But we packed up the truck and we went to the middle of nowhere in Caithness. We went past a place called Westerdale, south of Halkirk. And you park up, you go to a forest, you go round the forest, loads of lochans, and then you come out at the train station, which is really in the middle of nowhere, called Alt na Breic. But because the people that built it were the landowners, the gentry, who had the estates in the centre of Caithness, and they wanted to deliver their people that they took up from south to the middle of the estates. Yeah. So good for them, but not so good if you just want to get to Wick or Thurso. They now have a station called Altnabreck where the midges are fierce. And then you go south after there and you come to where the road meets the River Thurso, making its way back up to Lochmore, and you come back to the car. And it wasn't 12 miles. It was 17 miles. It's just typical of Richard doing that. But it was okay because we found the mecca of all damsel and dragonflies. I was in dragonfly heaven. And we also saw a crossbill bird, which, as its name suggests, is a beak that's crossed for the way it eats its dinner. And the piece de la resistance, a hen harrier. It wasn't up close, but I am convinced it was a hen harrier because it was a great big bird of prey and it was flying wrong for a buzzard at the wrong shape of tail. Well, I was going to say I'm quite good at knowing my birds of prey, but remember I was saying about a scabby looking buzzard and that was a lot closer. But between us and the app, Birds of UK app that I've got on my phone, which is really good, by the way, if you've not heard me mention that before. Birds of the UK app, it's like 70p or something. Fantastic little resource. So we decided it was a hen harrier. So I was just delighted. And it was a really good day. And if you want to get away from it all and you're a competent mountain biker, this is a great route. We saw the hills of Caithness from a different side too. And I even got a shot on his fancy giant bike on the really rocky bits. Anyway, I'll get back to doing more crafty endeavours for the next fortnight.
What you doing?
You lot have been pretty busy, so I'm sorry if I miss you out, but this was the first ones that said. Three Bad Cats on Twitter, she said, New Zealand, we have recently had the Knit August Nights knitting retreat in Napier. Lots of us went, smiley face. And I've started my Christmas knitting. Because I'm slow, and this year I'm hell-bent on getting all gifts finished on time. Good stuff. I like her on Twitter. She's a nice listener. The lovely designer Katie Swift said, all the commissions with some sneak sweater designs. Nothing of real interest, I'm afraid. Well, we'll be the judge of that, my dear. It's nice to hear how you're getting on. And Nicole Blackstock said, she's finishing a quilt and making rice-filled owls for a craft show. Also starting to design new curtains for my new bedroom. That sounds exciting. And Keridan Davis has finally mastered tatty. Arsh, I'm delighted. This is Kerry, who I met when I was in London. She's just elegant and lovely. And she was talking to me about she wanted to learn tatty. And of course her mum had knew how to do it. Did she ask her? No. As is mostly the case. And I'm pleased that you managed it. That's quite exciting. I've got a tatted bookmark that one of my lovely listeners has done. I use it quite a lot, actually, so it's very elegant and just like you, actually, Kerry. And Nick from the Yarns from the Plane podcast has knitted a great big swatch for her knit along. Never mind swatching, Nick, get recorded. I want to hear about your holidays. I don't care you're back at school now. None of this work stuff. Come on, get back to your podcasting schedule for us needy people. But I did look at her big swatch. It's big. So I'll look forward to hearing and seeing more on that. You lot have been very busy, and I'm sorry I missed you out because there was quite a few of you came on after I had written this. The drams. On to the drams this episode. And after this, there is only the blah 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 stuff, so if you're not into the drinking, then thank you very much, and I'll catch you all next episode. Behave yourself. But if you're into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink an Arran 10-year-old single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello and welcome into this episode of The Drams.
Hello.
In this episode we have an Arran single malt Scotch whisky, aged 10 years, non-chill filtered, bottle for us to try.
Yes.
So I shall start with actually a poem.
A poem.
Richard bought the Bairns a lovely book today. Daisy nice. Got 365 fairy tales, rhymes and other stories to read and love every day of the year.
And I've got Sandy a book about bizarre and amazing facts.
Yeah.
I.e. I know, gross.
Well, the only one I could think of was a newborn's first poo. Sorry if you're eating, but it's green. Yeah.
We were celebrating, by the way, because we got our periodic audit for our management systems, credited via UCAS by DNV, And we passed the audit today, which was good. And internal auditor, we got him a bottle of wine because he did it in effect for no charge and favours. We got ourselves a wee cheeky bottle of Auchentoshan for our next drams,
mm-hmm.
and the Burns a couple of books.
Yes, so Sandy got the Obscure Facts one.
And I got a mountain biking magazine.
Whoop, whoop. I was actually a bit disappointed when there was no knitting magazine.
You got flowers last week.
I got flowers last week. However, we digress, Richard. So the book, it's got loads of different stories and little nursery rhymes and stuff, but this is called Fields of Gold. And I thought, well, it's quite appropriate because they're cutting the hay up the field just now. And what is whiskey made of but barley? So, Fields of Gold. When the summer's over and the sun is losing heat, the rolling fields around me are full of ripened wheat. A glowing golden carpet, gently swaying as it stands, waiting for the farmer to harvest from his land. When the grains are gathered and the straw lies on the ground, we'll bale it and then stack it into lovely golden mounds.
Very nice.
Isn't that nice? Even though it's old-fashioned.
It is old-fashioned, but the bizarre thing is when I'm driving back from whatever I'm doing and it's dark now because I've got to use lights in the car. It's always very strange having to use lights when you're driving home from somewhere after it being so light during the summer. And you see all the combine harvesters out in the fields. It's like the aliens have landed.
I was just thinking the same.
It's very strange. Yes. Very strange.
Pretty big lights. Mm. So, back to Aaron. So the tub is a cylindrical tub, and it's great for making Darth Vader voices and sounds and breathing. The colour is black.
Hey, I would call it more charcoal than... It's not matte black.
No, it's not matte black. It's got very silver effect. Mm. And on the bottom, it's got a cream round, and it's got www.aran with two R's. It's not like wool. ARRANwhiskey.com. So we've got 700 millilitres, 46% alcohol for volume. It's distilled, matured and bottled in Scotland. And Aran, we'll come on to that. The Queen's Award for Enterprise International Trade 2005 in a nice kind of... Is that red or pink?
I would say that was a copper red.
Yes, he would say that too. And it says the true spirit of nature. Now, around the bottom, it's got a little picturesque scene of Machree Moor, Isle of Aran, which are standing stones. And the writing is in the copper red. And at the top, it's got a little map in black and silver behind the copper of the Aran moat with two little kind of birdies. I would assume one of them's an eagle. But I would say one thing. You'll not be orienteering with this map.
Probably not. There's some good hills in Aran, though, and lots of climbs, although I've never done any of them.
We've been to Aran, but we'll come on to that later.
We'll come to that. Interesting facts?
It's quite a new distillery, look. Interesting fact. What?
Interesting facts. It won San Francisco World Spirits Competition 2012 gold medal, and also Malt Advocate, the magazine for the whisky enthusiast, apparently, says one of the 20 defining whiskies of the past 20 years, Malt Advocate 20th Anniversary, issue 2011.
Oh, it's got a lot to live up to then.
I would say it's definitely defining in the fact that I've had some in the last 20 years.
I would say so too, because we've only got 2 drams left in that bottle.
I know, it's terrible.
Own up.
Oh no. Am I getting the blame? Did you not have any? I'm sure you've had some.
Yes, I've had some. Yeah. On the back, there's 2 small writing, I would say, in white, information about Aran and the whiskey itself. 2 small. Hurts my eyes to read that.
Is it?
Yes.
I can do that.
But it's a nice bottle. I find it quite easily on the shelf. And can you remember how much it was and where you got it from?
Yeah, we got it when it was £25, I'm pretty sure.
From?
We got it from Mackay's. And the bottle?
Is quite a traditional looking bottle shape. Slightly... Mm-hmm.
Tapering at the bottom.
Tabled?
No, tapering.
And it says, embossed on the glass, the true spirit of nature. That must be their flag.
Hmm.
Their flag. That must be their tagline. And there's a couple of birdies in the top embossed.
There's a map there, you can see that map a bit better.
Yeah, but you still kind of use that for Mark Regan.
Ah, I've used less. Put my finger in the air, sniff the wind.
Now, as an ex-member of the Mountain Rescue, you are surely not telling me that it's advisable to do that.
I would not advocate use of any map if you're not qualified and trained to do so.
Right, so the bottle.
Couple of wee birdies there, embossed in the bottle. We've got the wee standing stones down in the label. Tells you a little bit about
the... It's easier to read the, yes, the back of the bottle.
It can turn cloudy because it's non-chill filtered. Blah, 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 blah. Something about the Gulf Stream.
Oh, right. Where is that around, Richard? Tell the listeners.
Look to the west. If you go down to the Kintyre Peninsula...
Ball of Kintyre.
Not that far. No, no. Back up a bit. Back up a bit. Just go just south of Tarbert, a wee bit, past Kennacraig, turn left, or that would be east if you're heading south, that is.
Oh, you confused me.
And you get the wee bit called Clannagh.
Between Glasgow and the Mull of Kintyre.
Yes.
On the south-west of Scotland.
That is, to the west of Glasgow, aye.
Thank you.
To the east of Kintyre. It's an island.
And
it's a lovely
call it
little
a
island.
Miniature Scotland, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, because it's got a little bit of feature of everything you find in the main bit of Scotland. Hills, lowlands, fields, forests, beaches. Lochs, beaches, cliffs, everything.
It's quite easy to get to as well from Glasgow and from Clannagh.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can do Clannagh to Lough Aransa in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we've done the tub, we've done the bottle, cork. Now this should be squeaky because it's been in and out of
it. It's been well oiled. It's been a well used cork.
Oh, that's nice cork. Nice squeakage.
Smell.
Oh, what a lovely smell. Oh, yes.
It's now, not too strong though. It's not strong,
it's lovely smells to it. And I cheated, and I read the tasting notes. So don't see the tasting notes on the back of the bottle.
No, there's no tasting notes on the bottle or the tub.
That's bizarre.
Which is good, because it forces you to use your instinct and your own senses.
He's currently trying to shake every single last drip out of that bottle. If he could wring it out like a cloth, he would.
It pains me to see dribbles in bottles.
There's no dribble. I think that bottle's been well
right.
done.
Well, I'll put the water in the sink. So we'll go for colour.
Colour. That is Barbie's hair.
It's a dirty Barbie.
She's been out getting the hay in.
That's what she told you.
She's been harvesting.
I bet she has.
Right, smell, Richard. Well, I like that.
Nutty. Very nutty.
What, nutty as in mental nutty?
No.
Or nutty as in Louise doesn't want to eat it because it'll kill her.
A little bit of sweetness in there, maybe a little bit of honey in the background there. Not getting spices or anything. I'm not really getting vanilla or nougat or anything like that. Flowers. But nutty, yeah. It'd be interesting. If I haven't looked at what
that's
it tastes like.
That's because I'm getting kiwis and bananas with a hint of cinnamon.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it said on the tasting notes.
I haven't read
so
the tasting notes.
So many kiwi fruits and bananas grown in Arran.
It's miniature Scotland. That means it's got to have a Tesco's in it. How many Tesco's have you seen in Scotland? Millions of them.
I can't remember. Mind you, it was a while ago we were there.
I'll tell you what year it was.
When?
It was 2003. Because Quattro was a puppy and I was waiting to get my operations.
Hmm?
I didn't remember seeing any kiwis or bananas though.
You do get some palm tree type things on the west coast because of the Gulf Stream, but...
Down in Campbellton you do.
Aye, and up in Ullapool too.
Aye, because of the Gulf Stream.
We never had one in our garden when we lived in Oban. I object. Can I have some water, please, so I can taste this?
Yeah, we're going to swirl it first.
Oh, right, you can do that.
Yeah, swirl's fine. A little bit of dribble there. It's running quite quick, but hey-ho. It's a 10-year-old, so...
Well, it says established in 1995. Yes, thank you. Product of Scotland. So I'm wondering if it was quite a new distillery then.
Well, we went past it, remember?
We actually went into the distillery at Loch Ranza.
Yeah.
But the distillery tour was a bit more expensive than expecting. I think we were looking for a cup of tea.
Yes, so that's right. They had to pay to get in to get a cup of tea, and we just wanted a cup of tea.
Yeah.
At the time. I think we were waiting for the... We were not going for the ferry.
We were.
Aye.
That was right before I learned Quattro to swim.
No. Quattro was forced to swim. Quattro, welcome. This is a pier. This is a slipway. That's the sea. This is land. This is my boot. Boof. Into the water.
I did boot him in.
You did
you
boot him in.
You have all my listeners that are in the RSPCA phoning me up and telling me off.
Well,
I'll tell you exactly what happened, listeners.
In your figment of your imagination. Quattro's just snorted in disgust at your lies. I distinctively remember.
We were at the slipway and Quattro was learning to swim.
No, Quattro was looking at the sea from dry land and he was
on a retractable lead.
He was urged to step into the water.
Pushed him into the sea.
Boot it.
I did not boot him. I just pushed him slightly. And I love my Quattro. I wouldn't drown him. And all dogs can swim. And he was about 30 centimetres deeper than he actually is. So he wasn't deep at all. And then he came in.
The fact is that it could have been 1,070 centimetres.
He learned to swim.
It could have been 3 kilometres deeper. Or it could have been 1 centimetre deeper than they actually was. The point of principle is the same. If it's 1 centimetre or less than 1 centimetre deeper than what he actually was, it's sink or swim.
I'm sorry, I'm not listening to you anymore. Your lips are...
I'm looking at Quattro rolling about in the carpet there in disgust at your lies. Indignation. Although it has made him quite affectionate of the sea, because any time we see a puddle, he jumps in it.
He's not scared of the sea, and all dogs need to learn to swim.
That's correct. So do our children, by the way.
Correct. Right. Sounds
like that.
I like this.
I like this too.
I want to say whiskey, listeners, because otherwise you'll be a bit disappointed. But there's a lot of spice to that. I think. Mind you, granted, I did burn my tongue today, so maybe my taste buds are a bit stuffed. But it's not harsh and it's not overly barleyed, I don't think.
It's not smoky or peaty.
Getting any peat or smoke. But I like this. If any of you listeners and that are still hypnotised...
I'm getting it quite sweet, actually.
If any of you listeners that are still hypnotised from last episode feel the need to send me things, one of these bottles would do fine. And you're back in the room.
And you've been hypnotising people. You've been giving subliminal messages.
Easy for you to say. I don't know what you're talking about.
What did I say?
How do you, Manit? What? Tell me more about the whiskey. Listeners want to know.
I can't place the taste at all, really. It's nice. It's quite sweet taste and the aftertaste, like the back of the mouth.
It's quite a light whiskey, I would say.
Mm.
Easy to drink. Very recommend this for being a 10-year-old, which is normal.
I don't have that nutty taste anymore. Quattro just barked in disgust again. He's still.
No, the neighbour went past.
He's still a little bit peeved.
I hope that...
At your lies.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can edit this out.
I know you can.
Anyway, for a 10-year-old whiskey, which is quite young, it's really nice. It's not harsh and horrible in the back of your throat like some of them can be.
No.
I don't think.
No. No, it's nice. I like it.
Hi, Quattro. So, we've done all that. Recommend this. Arran. What else happened in Arran?
Well, in Arran, we drove swiftly to Clannagh because we slept in. I could only spend a couple of days away at most because I was waiting for an operation to get my knees and arms fixed.
Why did you need an operation?
Because it was just after my climbing fall accident thing.
How far did you fall?
A long way.
And what did you break?
Everything, barring my right leg. And
it's fine now.
It was fine. Let's not dwell on these things. So we drove down and we only had a couple of days. So we went... should leave that in. So we're going down from Oban down to Clannagh to get the ferry.
I think we'll actually have to take this back a few seconds here because...
We had a curry night before.
We had a curry the night before.
And we lost Quattro.
And in the morning I lost Quattro. We went into the room, the kitchen where he lived, and opened the door. I said, where is he? He's not in his basket. And looked through, and the bin at the time was...
Moving slightly. Bearing in mind, Quattro was just a little puppy at this stage.
And all I saw was this little waggy tail with the coming out the top of the bin. And Quattro
So we pulled, hoiked him out the bin with a naan bread in his mouth. He's sitting there. He looked up and went, what?
So then we hightailed it down the road, obviously driving at the legal speed limit.
But it is quite a windy road.
Very windy road.
And we were late because we'd slept in.
Yes. And a little bit down the road, Cotro was sick at my feet. And Richard says, we can't stop. I'm sorry if you're eating just now. We're going to miss the ferry if we don't keep going. So Cotro proceeded to be sick another twice, possibly.
Well, I don't remember.
And when we got to Clannig, we pulled up and there was a whole pile of bikers. Man-og bikers wearing leathers and stuff. And of course, we all piled out the car. It was a bit smelling of dog sick. Thankfully, all on the rubber foot
mat thing.
And that was fine. Richard decided to take Cotro for a walk and leave me
to clean
it up.
He needed some fresh air.
Yes, he did. So did I, but you left me to clean it up, if you remember rightly. The bikers were killing themselves laughing. And the ferry was nowhere near the terminal. Same better.
Clannig was nice, though. Mind that big fancy house at the end of it?
No. Don't remember anything about it other than dog.
And then we got the ferry over.
Got the ferry over. We stayed. We went for walks. Yes. We saw a red squirrel. Can you remember that?
Yes.
And
there's no grey squirrel. I don't think there's any grey squirrels in there.
That's good. And we went for lots of walks. And
then we went for a walk on the beach.
Then we went for a walk on the beach in the evening.
Where did we go for dinner? We mind went for that fancy place for dinner. Went to a fancy restaurant for dinner.
And we stayed in a really nice guest house as well.
Nice, with lovely.
That took dogs. Mm. But we went for a walk on the beach.
In the evening.
It was very pleasant, nice beach, a bit of midges. And then Cotro found an Alsatian. Now, bearing in mind, Cotro is a 4-month, not even that, 3-month old puppy. He wasn't long out having his injections. And he sees this Alsatian, goes up and boofs him on the nose. I thought, oh no, that's the end of the dog.
Alsatian knew its place, so.
Well, the Alsatian kind of looked at him and just went,
No.
So that was where Aran's story. Yeah. Also in Aran, there's Aran Aromatics, a soap company, which is lovely stuff. We've got Aran Cheese, very tasty.
Aran Brewery, which is Aran Blonde, one of my favourites.
It is one of your favourites. We went there, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And lots and lots of stuff to do. I think they've got golf courses, lots of walking, trekking.
There's a bit of, it's little Scotland. There's a little bit of everything to do there.
Yeah, it's not too big to overwhelm you, but if you have the chance, do go.
Oh,
and you can really get there very easily from Glasgow.
Yeah.
Or is it Greenock?
Port Glasgow or something like that. No, it's round the side. Mm. Is it Port Glasgow?
Oh, it's not very far at all. On the big ferry, and it comes in through the summer. Although,
no, it's definitely not Port Glasgow. That's on the wrong side.
That's where Aran's stories, and I recommend the malt to go with it. And I would recommend the Loch Ransa distillery as well. Even though you've got to pay for getting for a cup of tea.
And we haven't been. Well, we've been to the car park.
Yeah. So who are you having for your dram this episode, dear?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it. And then I'm just thinking there of people locally, because we all, I always kind of go for sportsmen and people I admire and think, you know, people I'd like to just find out more about. But someone who I've met many times and had a drink with and chatted to, but it's always been in a kind of very formal, kind of quite pompous affair, kind of fancy do's. And it's always, you have to kind of watch what you're saying and behave and stuff. and I struggle with that behaving whole malarkey.
That's why I'm laughing. Right.
So, there's a politician around here called John Thurzo, Lord John Thurzo. I know him as John Thurzo.
Mm-hmm.
He's a local MP, member of Parliament, and he represents the Liberal Democrats, who are in, and he's got quite a few. He's on the chair of quite a few important committees down in the Houses of Parliament. And a couple of years ago, 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Sandy couldn't read. They was just going into school.
So it's 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We went down to London to stay with some family and we visited the Houses of Parliament, House of Lords, House of Commons, and it was arranged by John Thurzo,
yeah,
who got one of his aides to arrange it and took us round. And fascinating building, really interesting, lots and lots of history. Much smaller than you'd imagine when you see it on telly. Sandy sat in the Prime Minister's seat and was told...
Weirdly, it was on Newsroom today, the Houses of Parliament, because they're having a discussion about Syria. And I says, that's where you sat there. Sandy went, oh, I did, didn't I?
And he was told, you can't sit down there. It says so in the signs. Sandy turned around and went, but I can't read. Well, he can read now. This was 3 years ago. So I just have him because I'd like to... I think he's an absolute... I think he's bonkers kind of... I don't sound disrespectful in this fact that he's bonkers and an absolute spiffing toff. But he comes over as like he's like a mad upper class kind of dude with a big handlebar moustaches and kind of thing. I just like to get a few drams in him, and I know he likes his whiskey too. So I get a few drams in him, find out what he thinks about everything, because I know he's not a kind of toe the line kind of liberal.
No, he's
not. So he's kind of a wee bit of kind of individual, bit of a kind of does his own thing, which I respect that a lot. So, yeah, I'd have him round.
I'd have him round too, because he's been part of the furniture in Caithness for... I can't remember when he wasn't. So, he's just somebody that...
I think he's quite an approachable for a raving loony lord type.
No, I don't think he is. I think
no, I don't think he is.
He's very clever.
He's very clever.
He's very passionate about what he does, and the fact that he still pretty much lives up here.
And I think he's... Because he can communicate with people like me, and also with all the kind of...
Toffs
and upper class and all that kind of class structure which goes on down there. They're all mad for their money and stuff, and it's like...
Doesn't work up here,
does
it?
No, it just doesn't mean anything at all, really. So I think that's got a lot to say for himself. Anyway, who are you having tonight?
Well, I thought, because it was 50 years ago yesterday since his I Have a Dream speech.
I Have a Dream?
Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it would be fascinating to hear about it, and in a way fascinating to hear what you think about how 50 years since has affected America.
The world as well.
Because it's not just America. They were saying on the radio today, how things around the world wouldn't have happened but for his vision and his dream. And I just wish that there's somebody in the Middle East in this day and age that had a dream, because just turning on the news and seeing it every day, it's so sad.
Very sad.
So I just think that there should be more people like him.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to keep on inspiring generations, then I think it's only wise that we teach our children to have a dream.
Exactly. And drink whiskey.
Yes, drink whiskey responsibly.
Responsibly, yeah, very responsibly.
No, not our children.
No, when 18. They get old enough, in whatever country they live in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, at your own proper, because you're not all 18. In fact, some countries can't drink it, per you.
Exactly, and they're all scrapping. They should have a dram.
Aye, chill out. Be happy. So this
we should be peace envoys. Although, saying that, I currently look like I've been beaten up by my wife.
I did not beat you up. I was in Wick. You were in Thurso when it happened.
Yeah.
Tell what happened.
Playing shinty. 1 minute of training left. I goes in for a tackle. And this wee slight lassie swings the Carmen quite harshly. And I thought I'd done enough to avoid it and block it. But oh no, the edge of it caught me right on the eye. Well, the forehead and the eyebrow. 1-inch gash, opened up, blood everywhere, home, and then sent back through to Thurso to get it. Well, I got glued instead. I did my own stitchy. Butterflies. But no, I had to go in and get it glued. Which actually looks quite good now, because it's only 2 days on. It looks like it's almost healed.
It looks like a cyclops.
it makes a good story. I could... Anyway, I do have a habit of picking up these little injuries.
You do. Anyway,
so I don't mind, it's just blood. Blood never hurt anyone.
Anyway, made a good story.
That's right.
So, enjoyed the Aaron.
Yes, very nice. And next time we have a Ochentoshin. And
he phoned me up and says, there's an Ochentoshin on special. And I says, okay, that, because that's a really good word to say.
Mm-hmm. Ochintoshin.
Ochintoshin. I'll have you all say
that. Could be our vocabulary of almost sweary words. Fochabers.
Fochabers. Echelfechin.
Echelfechin and Ochintoshin.
And they're all valid place names, listeners. Very valid place names. Because Sandy actually turned around and says, "Mummy, is that actual swear word?" I was like, "No, it's a place." On that note. Sandra.
Thank you for that.
Now, I really would recommend this dram. It's quite, not overly distinctive, but I liked the taste of this a little bit. And it's one that you can remember easily when you're in the whiskey shop and you cannot remember anything other than Old Pulteney, obviously, Highland Park, and Monkey Shoulder. Aran, as in Aran jumper, Aran weight of wool. See? Simples. You can do it.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening, and I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me splaff on. My email address is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook as caithnesscraft, and you can access the Flickr photos from Louise G 2010, and you can visit the Podbean site, which is www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos link is down the right hand side there. The music this episode was from the Thurso Pipe Band from their monthly Walking Up and Down the Street the past Saturday. The pipe bands play in the towns of Wick and Thurso and other Scottish towns on a regular basis throughout the summer to raise money and awareness for their pipe bands. Plus it gives them the practice of the marching and the playing. And it was really lovely to hear them. So thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.